Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We thank thee, our Father, that we have the privilege of calling thee Father, and that thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has entered into us by Spirit to dwell in our souls. And our desire is that thy name may be hallowed. Thy name may be above every name, even in this hour as we've met to worship thee. May we worship thee in spirit and in truth. May all of our thoughts be brought in from the world and the cares, and may they be centered in upon thee and thy word. And may thy word be written upon our hearts as never before. O Spirit of the living God, do the work which only thou canst do in our hearts at this time. Open in our eyes and our hearts. Circumcise in our ears. We may be able to hear. We do pray that thou wilt come down, thy mercy seat to greet, and deal with us in mercy. We do give thee praise and glory and honor, and wait before you for that revelation that thou dost give out of thy word by thy Spirit. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. We want you to turn with us in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We want to begin reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, yea, hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When we look at these verses of scriptures before us this morning, we find our God giving unto us this one eternal fact that Christ Jesus is all and in all. It is by his gospel that we are saved. It is by his power that we are delivered. For Christ is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. Amen. He tells us that the world by wisdom knows not God. Somebody asked me the other day, how come all of a sudden in our generation has everything come to pass? It's come to pass with the wisdom that man has in electronics. And all that he's done with the computer, and all that he's done with the rockets, and the spaceships. I said, well, they've been building blocks, they've been building until this time that man has come to this great wisdom and this great knowledge. But none of it leads to Christ. For man by wisdom does not know God. By his own wisdom, he does not know God. He cannot find him by his own wisdom. And when he gets down to verse 26, he tells us how we get to know him. It is by the calling of God. And he says he didn't call many wise men after the flesh, and not many noble are called, as the world would call noble. But this is what God did, that he might put to confusion the counsel or the wisdom of the wise. He says, I have chosen the foolish things of the world. Those whom the world would call fools. He said, I have chose them that I might confound the wise. He said, I have chosen the weak things of the world. Those who are in themselves weak and have nothing. I have done that I might confound the things which are mighty, that I might do through them what the world could not do. And that's exactly what he did when he chose the men that he did to be his disciples. The only man that had any wisdom turned out to be a devil. The only one that had any learning turned out to be a devil. That was Judas. The rest of them were just ignorant men. So God chose the foolish. He chose the weak. He chose the base things of the world. He chose those that are despised. For what reason? That no flesh would glory in his presence. And even those which are not, the things which are not. And I want you to notice that he mentions through these verses of Scripture, he calls those whom he saves things. The foolish things, the weak things, the base things. Things that are despised, things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. This is the way God works. That no flesh should glory in his presence. He takes and he uses these types of individuals. But look at verse 30, which is our text this morning. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I want you to look particularly at verse 30. The first two words after but. Of him. All that we have comes from God. It is of God that we are in Christ. Look at it in your Bibles. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. The only reason that anyone under the sound of my voice this morning is in Christ Jesus is because God has been at work in the soul. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And then to let us know again that it's God who worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure, he repeats it. Who of God is made unto us. This Jesus, this Christ Jesus in whom we have been accepted, it is him and by him that we are made. And Christ is made into us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I want you to hear it one more time. Salvation is of the Lord, but of him are ye in Christ? I did not put myself in Christ. It was God who worked in me by his Spirit. And then God did something for us. Who of God, Christ was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, there are two things that we would like to look at this morning. We would like to look at what is implied here, and we would like to look at what is expressed here. For if we find here, and we do, that God has made us accepted in the Beloved, and that God has made Christ wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption for us, then that implies that I'm a sinner. That implies that I need a Savior. That implies that I am utterly and eternally lost unless God works something in my heart and does it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right? What is implied? Well, the first thing that is implied is this, that we are destitute of anything that can bring us to God. He told us that back up there in verse 27. The foolish things, the weak things, the base things, the things that are despised, and the things which are not. Now he's telling us that it is of him that we are in Christ Jesus. So I understand from this then that by nature I am destitute of any good, any righteousness, and that I do not have the capacity and I do not have the power to make myself and give myself wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Do you see it? That's what he's telling us. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. If that is so, then I cannot make myself this. I have no wisdom, I have no righteousness, I have no holiness, and I am enslaved. And what is the opposite of all of this? Well, if I do not have any wisdom, I am ignorant. If I do not have any righteousness, then I stand guilty before God. If I do not have any sanctification, then I am polluted in my sins. And if I have no redemption, then I am certainly enslaved by my sins, taken captive by Satan at his will, and held there. So therefore, I need a Savior, and I need a Redeemer, and I need the one whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need God's Son, and so do you. But we have good news here this morning. But of God are you in Christ. It is of God that Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now why do I need the wisdom of God in my soul? It is because I'm ignorant. I know nothing about my heart. I know nothing by nature of myself. I do not know that my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked unless God, by His Spirit, shows it to me. I am ignorant of the depths of the iniquity that's in my soul. I don't know my heart. I tell you, I still don't know it today. God continues to reveal unto me the depths of iniquity that He's delivered me from and what the heart is capable of doing. We read and we see what man does in his depravity. But we should not be surprised. The very same thing is in our own heart. The very same thing is in our own bosom. The very same thing is there because we are ignorant of our desperate wickedness before God. It takes God to open our hearts by His wisdom. And beloved, this is the reason why men hate the doctrine of total depravity. And the reason men hate the doctrine of the sinnership of every one of us. Because it shows that we are ignorant of what goes on in our own hearts. We perform all manner of sins. We commit all manner of sins. But we are ignorant of the depths of those sins. We are ignorant of what goes on in the heart. It is God who worketh in us to give us this wisdom. But not only that, we do not know God. We are ignorant of God. We are ignorant that we deal with a holy God. We're ignorant of the fact that God looks upon us and sees us polluted in our blood. We go every day of our lives apart from the grace of God, not knowing that the day of judgment is coming. And that God is going to punish every sin. And that every sin is going to be brought into judgment before God. And God is going to mete out recompense toward all of our sins. By nature, we do not understand that God requires truth in the inward part. We're ignorant. Neither do we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ignorant of Christ. We're ignorant of that great love wherewith He loved us. Apart from the grace of God, we are ignorant of that which God has done for us and wrought for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no idea, apart from the revelation of Christ to our souls, the marvelous grace of God to our hearts. Apart from the revelation of the wisdom of God to our souls, we have no idea of how much Christ loves His people. We have no idea of what Christ suffered for His people. We have no idea of that love that will not let go. That love that follows us to the very pits of hell and digs us out and plants us upon that rock. We're ignorant of that. We're ignorant of His cross work, of His sufferings. But Christ has made unto us wisdom. We're also ignorant of the work of the Spirit of God in our souls. Oh, beloved, has God ever taught us that? How many preach and teach and witness, and how many go about and never know that it's by the power of God's Spirit working in the soul? We do not have wisdom to know this. God has made Christ wisdom. We do not know of the Spirit's enlightening work, of His sanctifying work, of His consoling work in the soul to bring us to Christ, apart from that wisdom that God has given in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we know Him, then we have that which God has intended for us to know, and our ignorance is taken away. Amen. And we're wise. It's grace to be taught of the Lord. It's grace to be taught of the Lord. And then that next word, righteousness, to me the opposite of righteousness is being guilty. That's what is implied here. Why do I need a righteousness? Why do I need Christ to be made righteousness unto me? It is because I stand guilty before God. I stand guilty of breaking God's law. And what do we know about our guiltiness before God apart from the work of God's Spirit in our souls? Which one of us will admit that we have broken God's law? Which one of us would admit that we are sinners in the sight of God apart from God's justifying work in His righteousness? And Christ being made righteousness unto us, and the Holy Spirit working in us. You know, we can look at all the gross sin around us, and we say rape is an awful thing, and child abuse, and wife abuse, and husband abuse is an awful thing. We can say that murder is an awful thing. We can say that murdering the unborn babe is an awful thing, and all of these gross sins are awful things in the sight of God. They're awful things in our sight. But how much more awful is the heart in its utter self-righteousness to try to palm off on God a goodness that it does not have? Goes about seeking to establish its own righteousness and has never submitted itself unto the righteousness of God. What's greater than pride? For a man to be proud of who he is and what he is and what he's done, what he's capable of doing, and knowing not that he's wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked in the sight of God. You see, pride Men don't understand that. And the fact that we have not loved God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our mind and all of our strength makes us guilty before God. And men do not look upon this. Men look upon the gross things, but the sins, but they do not look at that heart that seethes with rebellion against God. That heart that is set in its attitude of intolerance of God. I don't want Him. I don't want to have anything to do with Him. And we do not call that sin. We're ignorant of that. But that sin needs to be wiped out and we stand guilty before God. How about the sins that we have committed by not doing anything? The sins of omission? We've not done what God wanted us to do. The sins of commission? We have done what God told us not to do. And all of these things we look upon by nature as being nothing. We can delve in our hearts and minds by nature with lustful thoughts and play with them and think nothing about them. Proud thoughts and covetous thoughts. Hateful thoughts and thoughts of revenge. And think nothing of them. But God marks them all the time and we stand guilty before God. Therefore, we need to be convinced and our mouths stopped and we become guilty before God. And then when I look at the word sanctification, I understand that what is implied as the opposite would be my pollution. That every member of my body and every faculty of my soul is polluted. And God alone knows the depths of the heart. If Christ has made unto me sanctification, which is being set apart for God's holy use, if Christ has been made unto me holiness, then that means I'm unholy. That means that every thought that I think by nature is are thoughts of self and of the world and of sin and not of God. My very thoughts are polluted. Everything about me is polluted. I am blind in my understanding. I am perverse in everything that I do and everything that I touch. All of my affections are sensual. They're devilish. They are not of God. They are of self. And how can a man know his heart? How can a man know these things when he's blind in his understanding except God, by His almighty power, make Christ these things for us? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You want an understanding of where we are? Titus 3:3 puts it in these words. For we ourselves also were sometimes. I like to go back and read that to remind me. And what he says. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This is where the natural man is. This is where we are by nature. This is where we were until God saved us. We ourselves also were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We're all like David, who didn't know his own heart. He got mad at the man who took the ewe lamb and little lamb and the rich man took the lamb and served it. He got it from the poor man and did not use one out of his own flock. And the little lamb was all that the poor man had. Until the finger went home and said, "Thou art the man." And oh, that God would point His finger at our hearts this morning. that God would speak to our souls. Thou art the man. May we be reminded of that this morning. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But that's not all he has here. He uses the word redemption in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Well, what is implied by that word redemption? Well, if I am to be redeemed, and I am by the grace of God, then it means that I am enslaved by nature. I am tied to my sins and held captive by my sins, and I'm held captive by Satan at his will. I'm in the prison house of sin. I'm held there as just as much as the Israelites were held in Egyptian bondage by the hard taskmasters, and they could not get out. And they never would have escaped apart from the grace and mercy and blood and power of God working for them. There they were. And there we were. And there you are this morning outside of Christ, destitute, enslaved, nothing to appease God with. You need redemption. But I want you to notice that when we look at these things, Christ made wisdom for our ignorance, righteousness for our guiltiness, sanctification for our pollution, redemption for our enslavement. I want you to notice that we are incapable by any power of our own to remove our ignorance, our guiltiness, our pollution, or our enslavement. Did you see the text? It is of God that we are in Christ Jesus. It is God who made Christ wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. How am I going to get rid of my ignorance? I'm ignorant. How am I going to get rid of it? I can't remove it myself. I can't take the spots away. We are told that God alone giveth wisdom. The Spirit of God must open the eyes of our understanding. He must come with His gracious influence upon our souls. He must show us the things that belong to our peace. He must work in our hearts by His power to raise us from the grave of sin. He must come to give us spiritual discernment in order that we may discern the things of the Spirit. He must give us that cry in our souls, Lord, open mine eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may hear. Open my heart that I may be able to understand. Put within me that understanding and that wisdom that is needful to take away my ignorance. You know, beloved, we continue to cry this. We continue to remind God that He made Christ unto us wisdom. For apart from Christ, we have no wisdom. Apart from Christ, we know not how to go out or come in. We have no spiritual understanding at all unless the Spirit opens our eyes and we might understand the Scriptures. Then I'm incapable of taking away my guiltiness. I cannot blot out of the book of God's remembrance all of my sins that I've committed. There's so many of them I don't even know anything about. And the ones I do know about, I can't even blot them out of my own memory, much less blot them out of the book of God's remembrance. That's God's grace and that's God's mercy, beloved. That God blots out from before His face. We might try, but we can't. We cannot cancel so much as one sin that is held against us. I don't care how much we might cry. I don't care how much we might beg. I don't care how much we might plead. I don't care how much we might be like the prophets of Baal to cut ourselves and the blood gush out. Whatever we might do to work our fingers to the bones, we cannot remove one guilty sin before the throne of God's judgment. We cannot blot anything out of the book of God's remembrance whatsoever. God must come. A justifying righteousness must be perfect, and we cannot produce it. And if God does not come, we will bear our iniquities forever and forever, standing guilty before Him. But He comes with that good news this morning of Christ. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then how about pollution? How about pollution? Can we cleanse ourselves from our own pollution? I can't. Neither can you. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, the color of his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? The answer is no. Neither can we change ourselves and make ourselves do apart from the grace of God. Only God can do this. And how does He do it? He only does it by giving us a new heart. How am I going to think right thoughts? How am I going to be and to stand before God unless I stand with the nature that God would put within me, that Christ has been made unto me sanctification? Can you mortify the deeds of the body? Can you will something to be done? What has been done in your soul has been done by the grace of God and the power of God. You know, to get rid of our pollution, it would be easier for us to create a world than it would to be blot out our pollution before God. And beloved, there's nothing in the world any more sorrowful to the heart of the people of God than to know that they still have sin in the flesh. And that they are still polluted in the natural man. And that they cannot, apart from the grace of God, work anything in their souls. And then look at the word again, the word redemption. We're in bondage. We're in enslavement. How are we going to get out of it? The more we try, the more we struggle, the worse we get. And even the blessed apostle could do nothing but cry, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord." That was his answer. All right, then, what is expressed here? We've looked at what is implied. What is expressed? Well, beloved, a lot is expressed here. God has treasured up something for us. God has done something for us. He's treasured up for us in Christ all the good that we need, that we stand in need of. And I read in another place in Romans chapter 8 that He gives it to us freely. Freely He gives it to us. Freely He gives it to us. Freely He bestows it upon us. He gives us that repentance and that faith. And I want you to notice that it's all treasured up in Christ, and that God hath made us in Christ. And Christ has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God has laid help upon one who that is mighty, the one who is dear and near to His own heart, and that is His only begotten Son. He has treasured up in Christ a fullness suited to all of the necessities that we need. And I need wisdom for my ignorance. I need righteousness for my guiltiness. And I need sanctification for my pollution. And I need redemption for my enslavement. And all of this is treasured up in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the treasures of God are in Christ. Ask yourself the question, do I need wisdom? Well, He should be made wisdom for us and to us. Do I need to know myself? Well, then He will send His Spirit to hover over us and to work in us and to let us know about ourselves. Do we need to know of the holiness of God? Then it is God that worketh in us to do and to will of His good pleasure. Do we need to know of our guilty condition before God, our corruptness, and how we stand as hell-deserving sinners before God? That treasure and that wisdom is hid up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will work in our souls. And beloved, what views the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, gives us of ourselves. When He comes, He does not leave us alone. He does not leave us alone as His children. He enables us to know of the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, and to show us what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Do I need righteousness? Do I need a covering that I can stand before God? Do I need to be justified? Do I need my guilt removed? Then Christ has made unto me righteousness. I'm to come to Him. I'm to look to Him. God has provided for me a righteousness in Christ that meets His holy law completely. It satisfied His holy law. The Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, has treasured up in the Lord Jesus a righteousness that satisfies the demands of His inflexible justice. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the man who stands in the imputed righteousness of Christ shall live. He who stands in Christ's righteousness stands before God in that pure and holy robe. And God cannot see one blemish in us whatsoever. Oh, I praise God for this morning, that righteousness of God covers us. And it's been given unto us freely. And that garment can never be spoiled. That garment can never be soiled. Amen. It's the righteousness of Christ. He stands there this morning, and God looks upon Him, and He sees His people clothed in His righteousness. And everything that Christ is, that is the way God the Father looks at His people. He looks at them in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees them in Christ. He sees them in the garment of Christ. He sees them standing there, accepted in the Beloved. And I tell you, if I didn't understand this, I'd be in a fix. To stand before God, I could not, except in the righteousness of Christ. And He said that Christ was made unto me righteousness. Then I asked the question, do we need sanctification? Now I stand in Christ in His righteousness, but there's something else that He does for us. We stand in Christ pure and holy as if we had never sinned. In other words, our pollution is gone. Our pollution is gone. Can you imagine that? And God has so given us grace to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and to put on the new man, whereby we shall be made in His divine image and His divine likeness. And He's given us the promise that the Holy Spirit was sent to sanctify us wholly in body, soul, and spirit. And if you will turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, you will see a most marvelous verse. God, by His Spirit, may take it home. Listen to Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I still see myself polluted. But by faith I see the once for all offering of Christ in His own body. That God has taken that offering, and by that offering He has sanctified me and made me holy even as Christ is holy. Verse 14 of Hebrews 10, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's perfected us. He's made us holy and righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our pollution has been cleansed away. Our filthiness, both of the flesh and the spirit, and the sight of God is gone. And we are perfected in holiness and in the fear of God. And yet He tells us to work toward this, doesn't He? And you know why He tells us to work toward this? Because this is what we are in Christ. He tells us to be this in our daily behavior, for we are already made this in Christ. Already stand before Him cleansed. Our pollution's gone. We stand in Him, being made in His likeness, changed from glory to glory. For by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And here again, if we didn't have these absolutes, when we see our own pollution, we would go stark raving crazy. The Christian life, the Christian profession, the Christian walk is really a paradox. At one and the same time, the believing child of God says he's nothing but a polluted sinner. And at the same time, he can say that in Christ I stand holy without blemish before God. Amen. At the one time, he says, at the same time, he can say, I am guilty of all my sins. And yet with the next breath, he says, I can stand before God justified in the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can say in one breath that I am ignorant and stupid and don't know how to even come in out the rain. And he can yet say that I have all the wisdom that I need because it's stored up in Christ. And he has given me that wisdom to admit that I'm polluted and that I'm a sinner and that I need the righteousness of Christ. At the one and same time, this man can stand in the pulpit and tell you that he's the chief of sinners. And yet with the next breath, he can tell you that in the sight of God, he's a saint adopted in the family of God. That's something, isn't it? That is something, isn't it? When you begin to think along that line, that's something, isn't it? That the one and the same time, a man can say that he's ignorant, but yet he's full of wisdom. That he's guilty, but yet he stands before God justified in the righteousness of Christ. At the one time, the same time, he's a polluted sinner in his own eyes. But yet in the eyes of God, he's sanctified and perfected and holy forever and forever. That's the goodness of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And I praise God for it. And people say, well, if you preach that, then I'll just go out and have my full of sin. Well, if you do that, you say it like that, you don't know anything about the righteousness of God and the desire in the heart. But if we did not know these things by faith, we'd be of all men most miserable. Because when we take a peek of ourselves in here, and God opens the floodgates of our heart, and we see what we are by nature, If we didn't have the righteousness of Christ to cover us, or the grace of God to fall back upon, or be able to say by faith, yes, I am that, but I've been made in Christ Jesus. This, by the grace of God. And then finally, do we need redemption? There's nothing in the world more enslaving than sin. Sin enslaves us. Habit enslaves us. Have you ever tried to leave off any particular sin? And find out you have no power to do it? Enslaved by it, held captive by it. In bondage to it. Taken captive by Satan at his will. And there's nothing, anything in the world to the believing people of God more awful and more frustrating than to be in bondage to a certain habit or a certain sin. I know when God was dealing with me for salvation, to leave sin, to leave my thoughts. I could not do them. And yet I had the commandment in the Word of God. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto God. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But how can I do that apart from the grace of God? But oh, praise God when he comes. When he comes. He comes to deliver us from all of the bondage of our corruptions. He comes to bring us into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And he said, if the Son therefore hath make you free, you shall be free indeed. And to walk in the freedom that God gives. To walk in the freedom that's in Christ. To walk in that grace of the freedom of God. To be able to look even Satan and the world and the sin of your sins in their face and said, sure, that's me. I was under your power. But no longer, I've been set free by the grace of God. If God did not cleanse us and deliver us daily from this enslavement, we'd be in awful fix. I would. But He delivers us daily. Christ has made unto us redemption for our enslavement. And we were enslaved. We were enslaved. Then I want you to see this last thought. See how entirely salvation is of grace. I've been emphasizing it, but let me emphasize it again. We have all of this by our being in Christ Jesus. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Then I've got to get into Christ, don't I? If I'm not in Christ, I'm in a fix. If I'm not in Christ, I'm lost. If I'm not in Christ, I have nothing. I have nothing, absolutely nothing. I don't care what I might have of this world, what wisdom and knowledge I might have of this world. If I'm not in Christ, I have nothing. We're empty, void. You see the grace of God here? Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. And there's not a soul in the sound of my voice this morning, saved by the grace of God. When you come to a portion like this, you would say in your own soul, it was God by His Spirit who put me in Christ. It was God by His Spirit that worked in my soul. It was God by His Spirit that came and regenerated me. And gave me a new heart. And it was God by His Spirit that engrafted me into Christ. And put me into that true olive tree. It was God who did this. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus. And that expression, who of God is made. God not only brought us in, but He sent the Savior to die for us. God made Christ sin for us, who knew no sin, that we in turn might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Then let us look to Christ this morning. Let us look to Him for all of this. Let us ask ourselves the question, have we been brought to such a sense of our destitution of all good that we are ignorant and guilty and polluted and enslaved? Has the Spirit of God so worked in our hearts to let us know of our utter incapacity to supply by our own efforts anything for our souls, that it must be by the grace of God? Have we been led to see by the Spirit of God a fullness in Christ? Do we look to Christ and see in Him one who is suited to meet all of our needs? And do you come to Him and say to Him, "Oh Lord Jesus, I praise You and thank You that the Father hath made You my wisdom, has made You my righteousness, has made You my sanctification, and has made You my redemption. I have one to fly to. I have one to call upon. I have one to fall down before and say, Lord Jesus, there is none in heaven but Thee, and none on earth that I desire beside Thee, because Thou art my all in all. Thou art everything." What does our text say? "Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." We've repeated that text enough this morning. I hope you remember it. And God will write it upon our hearts. God has done this in the Lord Jesus Christ for us. And I speak to your hearts one more time. Do not take this lightly, what we've said this morning. Do not take the Word of God lightly that you've heard. But ask God to work it in your soul, that you might experience these things yourself. That you are ignorant. That you are guilty. That you are polluted. That you are enslaved. That you need Christ, who God has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.